love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk. Welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, the Catholic Church, or interfaith relations. Today, the Muffin Talk is about a recording that was done with Verpal Singh. Verpal Singh is a member of the Sikh community, and I've interviewed him about the 2024 calendar of the Religious Diversity Center Aotearoa, New Zealand. And in this calendar, there is also one page dedicated to the Sikh community and to the Sikh religion. And the Sikh community is going to have a special celebration coming up on the 27th of November. And that celebration is the birth of Guru Nanak. And this celebration will also be featured in this interview. Verpal Singh heads the Sikh Center, a not-for-profit organization engaged in promoting greater interaction between Sikhs and the wider New Zealand community. He is a radio broadcaster, researcher, writer, and editor, and a former trustee of the Religious Diversity Center. Verpal, welcome to this program.
Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh, thank you for inviting me to be part of this program.
As I said, you are a former trustee of the Religious Diversity Center, Aotearoa, New Zealand. The RDC, and the RDC has just published its new calendar for the year 2024. Then the theme for next year is Earth. Verpal, you have had the chance to have a look at the calendar, and actually you also supported the production by proofreading the Sikh page. What are your comments to the calendar?
It's very well brought out, calendar, and congratulations to you for all the hard work you put in there. And RDC has been doing very good work with the annual calendar, and it is wonderful to have one in my hand. It is very timely, and especially with all the environmental concerns and the political efforts to kind of divide our only planet that we know or can access, habitable one within our reach. If we think in terms of dividing its parts or cornering its parts for what we see as our community, then it's going to lead to more and more serious problems that we see in the political arena today, with wars and all kinds of unsustainable exploitation of natural resources. So very timely topic to present in a calendar.
The theme of Earth is also, Earth is one of the five elements when you go back into history. And so it's a very essential element for all humanity. What is the meaning of Earth for you as a Sikh? Member of the Sikh community, is there something special? Is there something that you think of?
Yes, in Guru Granth Sahib, there is a line where the Guru says, "E jag sache ki hai kothri, sache ka vich vas." Translated, it means that this world is the home of the Creator, the Almighty, and the Almighty lives in every corner of it. And so that in itself kind of lays the ground for how the Sikhs view the earth. In the beginning of the Sikh scripture, Guru Granth Sahib, the Guru starts with listing the traits or the qualities of the Almighty Waheguru. And therein, the Guru mentions that everything else is dependent on the five elements, but except for the creator, Vaheguru. The Vaheguru or Almighty isn't dependent on any of the five elements, isn't dependent on anything except for himself or herself, or as we in the Sikh worldview say that the Almighty is the father and the mother. It's a general neutral one. So when we say earth, then the five elements, everything that we know needs those elements to exist. You remove one element and anything that we see will cease to be. So it's only that Almighty Creator who is independent of these, because the Almighty created these five. So that's the view or the importance of earth, the way we see it. And in another place, the Guru says, Pavan Guru Pani Pita Mata Tart Mahat, which translated means that air is the teacher and water is the father and earth is the mother. So all these statements stress the importance of earth for every Sikh.
And Vaipal, in the calendar, there's a quote that says, everyone is the field of the Lord God. The Lord himself cultivates this field. The Gurmukh grows the crop of forgiveness, while the self-willed Manmukh loses even his roots.
Yeah, or what the reference is to is that this earth is the field of action, that every Sikh needs to consider and act in a way that they are sowing the seed. And when those seeds grow, then that crop of the results of our action, all of us will have to reap that crop. So that is another basic principle that defines the Sikh worldview, that when we act, we are sowing the seed. And as the results of our actions start to come through, we cannot say that, oh, I sowed the wrong seed, now I can go back and re-sow or undo what I did. So the teaching is that when you're acting, do it in a very considered way. Don't act rash, don't act by prejudices, don't be influenced by revenge and all those. In fact, the Guru lists five emotions which should always be in control of under the control of a Sikh, rather than a Sikh be controlled by all of them or any one of them. And those are Kaam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Ahankar. Kaam is the physical lust, and Krodh is anger. Moh is the attachment or obsession. Lobh is greed, and Ahankar is ego. Mm-hmm. So when you control all these, then the action that you consider and ponder and then you act upon it, that is a considered action, that you've thought of the consequences and only then you acted. And that the Guru says that whether it's heaven or hell, they are all the results of your own actions.
Isn't that a little bit like you are reaping what you've sown?
Yeah. That is exactly what it is. It is also that don't consider that what we believe in is that nobody knows what happens after death, and we shouldn't even be worried about it. What we should be focused on is that this life and how we should be acting in while we are living this life. And the Guru says that if you are acting in a considered way, you're living in heaven, that the results of your actions would be good ones. And if you are acting in under the influence of any of the five emotions that I just listed, or under revenge and anger and all that, or ego satisfaction, then you are actually creating a hell for your own self and for others around you.
These are real wisdoms, and that's wonderful to connect that to Earth and with the harvesting. On the picture that we have in the calendar, we have two Sikh men, Malkiat and his father, and they show their crops. Is that, I don't know exactly the type of crop that it is. Is that something that Sikh do, eat a lot of crops, some root crops?
It is quite common in Punjab. It's called Mooli, which is till I had come here to New Zealand, reddish for me was what those gentlemen are holding in their hands. It's only when I came here that I saw this small purplish or round vegetable that I found out that this is what's called reddish here. So I think it's something lost in translation there, that reddish means different thing here and a completely different thing in Punjab. But the original Punjabi word for that vegetable is mooli. And it is very commonly used, very common.
What do you do with it? Do you cook it? Do you put it in stews? Or?
Mostly in salad, but also, you know, paratha, the stuffed roti that we make, like aloo paratha is roti stuffed with potatoes. Then there's mooli paratha, where you grate the mooli and use that as the stuffing. And also used in a version of saag, that it is used to change the saag flavor, which some people like and some don't, but it's very easily available. Normally use eaten raw, just put a bit of salt on it and a little bit of lemon. That's it.
It sounds very healthy. And I think that when I've been to Sikh temples, it has always been vegetarian in the temples, and so you would have a lot of crops and things grown, and is that typical?
It is, yeah. And in olden time, each Gurdwara had land associated with it, and they would raise their own vegetables and other crops. But gradually, as the systems keep changing, and sadly the Sikh community keeps losing its grip over its own affairs, the lands keep disappearing, either because of bad leadership or because of corrupt leaders taking up positions and making hay while the sun shines for them.
And Vepal, there are a lot of Sikh feast days, commemorative days in the calendar. It seems like the religion goes through the whole calendar. And now that we are in the month of November, there's one feast day, which is the birth of Guru Nanak. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about this? It's a celebration, isn't it?
It is, and I think the listeners and the viewers might be interested in knowing that for Sikhs, whether it is a day of birth or a day of ascension of a guru, or if it is the day of demise of a guru or martyrdom day, we commemorate it in exactly the same way, which is with prayers in the Gurdwara and the langar and ardas. So feast day might give a mistaken impression that some are feast days and some are other days, because for us, whether it is a happy occasion or a sad occasion, we treat both as two sides of the same coin, which is life. So it's part of life. The day which is coming now, in a few days, is Guru Nanak's birthday. This is the traditional date, which is by contemporary accounts, the historical day comes to be the 1st of Vaisakh, which is in April. That is the date of Guru Nanak's birth, the historical date. But somehow tradition seems to have confused the date with the full moon day of the month of Kattak, which is what is coming up now. We consider it as the traditional day of Guru Nanak's birth. So that is what is coming up. And most of the Sikhs celebrated Guru Nanak's birth during the month of Kattak. But history, for historical accuracy, it's important to point out that the historical date is 1st of Vaisakh.
And who was Guru Nanak? Is he the founder?
He was the founding guru, and he was born in 1469 and died in 1539. What he did differently from others was that when he was in the last phase of his life, he appointed, or even I would say trained someone else to be his successor, which to us points to the fact that Guru Nanak had a vision and a map of what kind of a human being he wanted his Sikhs to be. And he set the ball rolling in his own lifetime, and he created the path which his Sikhs needed to take in order to reach the objective that he had set for them. And then he, while on his deathbed, he appointed one of his students, one of his Sikhs, Bhai Lehna Ji, as his successor guru. And what is also unique here is that he then bowed down to Guru Angad, the second guru, so that there was no doubt in the Sikh's mind that Guru Angad was now in an elevated position. And then Guru Angad led the community on the path charted by Guru Nanak. And Guru Angad then appointed on his deathbed Guru Amar Das as his successor. And this went on for 10 gurus up to 1708. And in 1699, the 10th guru, who died in 1708, he then, in a way, made the declaration that the guru, the objective set for the community or for humanity by Guru Nanak is now achieved. The path is traveled and marked. And he then unveiled Khalsa, who was authorized or trained to be in direct communication with the world around, or as I said in the beginning, e jag satye ki hai kothadi, satye ka vishwas, that the creator living all around us, that if we pay attention to what is happening around us and the world around us, then we are in fact communicating with the creator. So that is what Khalsa means, that Khalsa is not bound to any earthly laws or earthly authoritarian laws, and Khalsa is authorized or trained to make considered decisions that benefit the whole humanity, which is another principle that Guru Nanak set for, is the Sikh Sarbat Da Bhala, that we should always be acting for the well-being of all, not just say that my personal benefit or my people's benefit or just my religion's benefit.
So Guru Nanak really prepared the pathway, and also the blessing from one to another, or the I think that is really important, so that there is no discussion on who would be the next leader. And now the 10th Guru is the Guru Granth Sahib.
10th is Guru Gobind Singh, and then he appointed or declared Guru Granth Sahib, which is the collection of wisdom in the written word, as the eternal Guru of the Sikhs, that any Sikh who is looking for wisdom or direction in any situation, if they have read the teachings of Guru Granth Sahib, then it's easy for them to find the path.
And for a special day like the birthday of Guru Nanak, is there a special reading from Guru Granth Sahib?
Yeah, in every commemorative day, there is a special reading, and there are certain parts of the scripture, or like by Gurdas's Vara and Kabir, where the readings or hymns are sung from for the occasion that is being commemorated.
Thank you for all this explanation. This is really interesting, because that's just one of the dates in the Religious Diversity Center calendar. Yeah. What is that, the biggest feast in biggest feast day in the Sikh religion, or is there something that is equally important or even more important?
They are all equally important because they are reminders for us to look back at the path that we took as a community and as individuals. So it is more about reaffirming not just our understanding of our history, and also to reconnect with the path that previous generations of Sikh took, and what has led us to where we are as a community today. So the other one that you can mention is Vaisakhi. Both are connected now with Guru Nanak, because Vaisakhi, first of Vaisakhi, is also the historical birth date of Guru Nanak, but it's also the day in 1699 when Khalsa was unveiled by the 10th Guru. So, and the third Guru established the system where the congregations established by Guru Nanak during his journeys, he established a congregation wherever he went, the pilgrimage centers and others that he visited. And the third Guru then established what we call Manjiyan, which is the leadership position, in 22 places. And then he established a system where the spiritual leaders from those 22 places led the congregations or members of the congregations to visit the Guru. And that happened twice in a year, once on the first of Vaisakh, and the other 6 months from Vaisakhi at the full moon day of Kattak. So in 6 monthly intervals, the congregations visited the Guru and reconnected with what the progress has been made in the journey that the whole community was undergoing.
So, and earlier you mentioned the historic date and the current date. Is the date for the celebrations the same in the whole world now, and you have a historic date, or do you have a different regions, like we are in the Southern Hemisphere and others in the Northern Hemisphere, would they have a different date?
No, the same date, because the date that we, the date actually is set in Amritsar, in the, what we call Jantri, which is the Punjabi word for our own calendar. So the dates are set according to the full moon and the lunar movements as seen in Amritsar.
Ah, okay.
So those are then followed in all over the world.
Okay, that's really interesting, and it does help understanding, because there are some religions where you have to be, it's about the moon or the sun, and you have to be careful what area in the world you are living, and then you calculate it differently. But you have your, like what the RDC had in the previous calendars, they had a picture of the Golden Temple in Amritsar. So it's Amritsar that decides on this is when the celebrations are, and it's the same for all Sikh in the world, correct?
For all, yes, that's right. And I may also point out that for us, the lunar movements are not spiritually significant. Their significance is only around calculation of dates. So today, the dates are calculated in Amritsar. Tomorrow, they could be calculated in London or New York. That won't be an issue. It's simply that the seat of administration of the community currently is based in Amritsar. Mm-hmm. So that is where the dates are being determined and calendar published, which is then followed all over the world.
Thank you so much, Verpal, for all these insights in the Sikh calendar, in Sikh feast days and Sikh traditions. Thank you very much. And if any of the listeners or the viewers would like to purchase one of these calendars, the 2024 calendar is on sale through the RDC website. So it's www.rdc.org.nz, and there is a link to order it on the homepage. Thank you very much, Verpal, and I wish you a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
And what is coming up at Titi Pauna Mustadi and Joy? We are heading towards our last event for this year, and this will be about St. Nicholas, history, legend, and culture. It will be held on Monday, the 4th of December, 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Zoom. And the presenter is myself, Beate Matthies. St. Nicholas is certainly one of the most famous saints in the world. The story of an ancient Greek bishop of Myra, a gift-bringing saint, and the commercialized American version of Santa Claus. How are they connected? And why are these two persons so fascinating? If you want to learn more about it and join us through the journey through history, legends, and mythology, please join us on the 4th of December, 7 o'clock in the evening, and register at www.studyjoy.nz. Kia kaha, keep safe, and have a good Friday.
Out there, old pieces calling in the bonds of love we meet. For the world a new day dawning and shines a light to greet. We're singing, this is the day when the hope was calling. This is the day when the light did shine. This is the day when the world can say, Derangi Marie. Can you hear the cry? This day is the day for a brand new start. We're singing, this is the day.
station is amazing.